we can join in worship together again. Today, at the climax of the service, we will be celebrating communion. We're going to begin today by having the hymn, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." Let us come to our Lord in prayer. Let us come in believing prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you that it doesn't matter where we are, that we can always come to you in prayer. And as we begin this morning, we want to thank you for the way that you answer our prayers. Lord, sometimes we come and we rush to you with our needs. We don't always come back and thank you. So forgive us for that, Lord. But Lord, we want you to help us. To help us to become better followers of Jesus. It was a wonderful thing that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for us. And we know that now our sins have been dealt with. We know that we have eternal life. That is, of course, if we repent and come and yield our lives to you. And so, Lord, we have so much that has been accomplished for us by Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. Victory over sin, victory over death. Oh Lord, you are a great, a loving and a wonderful God. Not easy time in our world, Lord, but we pray once more for the leaders of the different nations. It would be easy to criticize them, Lord, but what would we do in their place? Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would seek to guide them. May they listen to you, Lord, and may they know that you are on their side. So, Lord, as we look at things in the situation of the virus today. We ask, Lord, that you would be with all those who are working with people who have this virus. Lord, doctors, nurses, hospital workers, National Health Service, scientists trying to get a good vaccine and to get it out as quickly as they can. Oh Lord, there's so much going on for us. And although during the lockdown we could get depressed, Lord, we want to look at what other people are doing for us. So let us lift up our hope. Let us put our trust in God, our rock. And we pray, yes, Lord. We pray for those that have the virus, that they may know healing. We pray for those that are waiting for vaccination, that that will come soon. But Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you because so much is being done for our welfare. Lord, we pray that you will have the victory over the devil concerning this horrible virus. And we pray, Lord, that we will be able to look back on today and say, we put our trust in the right one because we're giving this problem, Lord, to you. And we're asking you to keep us strong. Lord, don't get us ready to give up or things like that. But Lord, help us that we might know that you will not let us down. Be with those, Lord, who've been bereaved. Be with those who are in hospital. Lord, we think of Stuart in Nisnavit. But Lord, there are so many people in need at the moment. And so, Lord, we bring them all to you. And we ask, Lord, that you will help the Christian church, particularly in this country, to stand firm and to put their trust in you. For, Lord, we know you have the final answer and we can trust you. So, Lord, be with us as we continue to worship. Hear our own personal cries and prayers and keep us, Lord, close to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing the next song, I Am Not Ashamed to Own My Lord.
The Bible reading this morning is from Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 to 23. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied, that decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, "Your Majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed." So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God.
It's that lovely hymn, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Oh, precious dear, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
For a few weeks, we're going to look at what the prophets have to say. And today, we're going to look at Daniel. And particularly, we're going to look at his life and his ministry. If I were to tell you that the points I'm going to share with you come from at least six chapters, you'll think, oh, we're going to be here all the night. But no. If I tell you that we've got 9 points, you'll think, oh dear. But trust me, folks, it's not going to be that long. But it's spread over 6 chapters so that we can learn perhaps a little more about Daniel. Daniel's life and ministry bridged the entire 70-year period of Babylonian captivity. Deported to Babylon at the age of 16 and handpicked for government service, Daniel becomes God's prophetic mouthpiece to the Gentiles and to the Jewish world, declaring in Babylon God's present and eternal purposes. Daniel shows God's guidance, his intervention, and power in the affairs of the people. The name Daniel means God is my judge. So, more about Daniel. Then, number one, Daniel believed in a sovereign God. The Babylonians changed David's address, his name, his education, but they could not change his theology. They could not change his beliefs. Number two, Daniel had a disciplined prayer life. Jewish people prayed at 9 a.m. and at noon and at 3 p.m. Daniel took the practice with him to Babylon. I wonder, do we have a disciplined prayer life? Or do we only pray when we face a problem or a special need? Number three, Daniel studied God's word and believed it. We surely know knowledge is no good without real belief. Number four, Daniel had an understanding of spiritual warfare. He knew that the fight was against the devil. He also knew that God provides the armor to fight the devil. And we know for us today that that armor is made very clear in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. You see, with God on our side, using the spiritual armor provided, we can conquer these things. Number five, Daniel sought only to glorify God. And we must accept this as our motive for serving God, to glorify Him and Him alone. We need to realize that without the help of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, we can do nothing worthwhile. And then number six, Daniel knew he had a work to do. God had called Daniel right from the beginning. It was God's will that he was deported to Babylon, because it was God's purpose for Daniel to challenge that nation. Number seven, Daniel was tactful and consistent. Daniel exerted considerable influence during the reign of four kings, and yet he never resorted to force. As Christians today, we must not adopt a holier-than-thou attitude. Instead, like Daniel, we must show respect for officials who we might not agree with. Number eight, Daniel had an insight into human history. You see, Daniel knew all about the past, and he was confident that his God would deal with the problems. And finally, number nine, Daniel lived up to his name. God was truly Daniel's judge. He lived a life following the will of God, not caring what others thought, but he sought to act in accordance with God's judgment. And I wonder, do we seek to please God in all that we do? Daniel is a fine example as we look at some of his ministry and his character. And if only we can follow that kind of example, we will be serving, following, and pleasing our God. Amen. Now going to sing the hymn, I Will Offer Up My Life. What we just heard from Daniel, surely this is something that we should sing, and we should sing with sincerity. I will offer up my life. We're now going to celebrate communion. We know that when we take the bread, we eat it, then and now. But when we take the cup, we just wait a few seconds to make sure that we can all drink it together. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to what we call your table. What we're really doing is coming and fulfilling one of your commands, and that is to take bread and wine in remembrance of you. The bread, the symbol of your body, the wine, the symbol of your blood, both given freely for us. And so, Lord, in accordance with your request, we come and together we take the bread. The body and the Lord was given for us. Let us eat and be thankful. When we think of Jesus on that cross, with blood dripping from his body, he went to the cross gladly. He went in obedience to his Father. He went for us, so that he who was without sin could take care of our sin once and for all. So let us drink Let us be truly thankful that we've got a wonderful Savior. Lord, as we offer our thanks to you, we know that one of the best ways we can truly thank you is by living, each one of us, a life that pleases you. And so, Lord, that we will do our best to do, to please you as we seek to follow and to serve you. In your name we pray. Amen. And now, in Christ alone, well, we couldn't have a better one, could we? Better song to sing at the end, because who else can we put our faith in for salvation but Christ alone?
Since Christ.
May the blessing of God our Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit be with us and all whom we love and all whom we know, both now and forevermore. Amen.